The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're live here, checking out brand new game mixtape coming out very soon. Very excited about it because I played it actually at Summer Game Fest, but we have a person here that's going to be talking about more about the game. You could present yourself.
I'm Johnny Galvatron. I'm the lead and director at Beethoven Dinosaur. Made The Artful Escape, making mixtape. Really like Devo.
Now, I know before you used to be part of the music industry, how different it is making music and now making games.
There's more like funding in video gaming in the kind of rock and roll that I played, which was mid-tier rock and roll career, which should be the name of my autobiography, is that there's no money and the parties are like little like blocks of cheese and Cabana. That's the level of rock and roll party that I've been to. But it's very nice to be into a creative industry that has funding. That's the first major difference. Second of all, I think rock and roll, I mean, music just generally, there's this really good quote from one of the conductors of the British Symphony, which is, pianists have to sit in a room with this great machine and every day prove that they are the master of it and not the other way around. And I think music is very individual. I think video games is far more collaborative. There's so much time spent on so many levels that it's so iterative that this time you run through and the animator has something to say about it. And then you run through again and this time the programmer has something to say about it. And it's really a team effort. And when you finish, you know, you can feel everyone there. I think one of the cool things actually that I did recently is I just played through the whole game because we just finished.
Yes, that's good.
And just seeing the artists from the team in the game, like I see this distant tower and I know that Harry put that there. Or I see this little picture that's illustrated and I know that Arden drew that picture. You know, not only is it a great piece of art, it's also like this little time capsule for the people who made it, which is very selfish, but you know, I think it's just a wonderful thing to make.
Yeah, 90s era is one of my favorites ever for me. Like, I remember even creating mixtapes back then.
Yeah.
With my cousins, we had two turntables. You always used to go to like different music stores and collect records and everything. Why did you decide to make a game like this, a mixing for you? Was it because you grew up in the 90s? Or was it because you used to make mixtapes back in the days or something else?
Absolutely used to make mixtapes back in the day, recording off the radio, recording off top, it's called Top 40 Gold Hits in Australia. And yeah, I would absolutely make them. I think what's interesting about mixtape as a game is there's a mixtape of music, but also the gameplay is a mixtape. And also the eras are kind of a mixtape. It's definitely not like pinned down. It's definitely not like July 1993. And if you had looked at all the soundtrack, you would realize that it's obviously amorphous about what time it is. So I love the concept of like, not only is this music a mixtape, but there's a mixtape of mechanics, of eras, of characters. It's kind of like Slater is from like 1989, but Rockford is probably like from 1993. And I love that this kind of amalgamation of time and youth and music, and I think that's what makes it cool.
Yeah, you know, one of the first thing that pop up to me when I started playing this game about the characters, nobody had no smartphone at that time. It was a very different era at that time when it comes to like teens and everything. Why was it so important to show that also to those that never grew up in that era in the 90s with this game?
Yeah, I think that it is harder now. I think it's harder to be a kid now.
Yeah.
I think there is some wonderful brilliance in being anonymous. As a teenager, I think it's very tragic that teenagers aren't anonymous in this day and age. And I'm not saying that this time is harder or that time is better. But I think really what I wanted to lean into was that remember when you defined yourself by what you liked. And I remember just at high school how ferocious that was and that like how much energy there was in that. What bands did you like? What films did you like? How did that define you? And I think there's just something very wonderful and creative about defining yourself just by like the art you enjoy. Mm. And that's a great like place to come from for to create something.
Yeah. While working on this, when you created the game, was it more about the story in the beginning or was it the music first while developing this game?
Music first. We lay out, we did this because usually a game has a vertical slice, which is a very singular to show the loop. But mixtape is different because there's different mechanics for every song. So what we did was we made a horizontal slice, which was a shitty version of the whole game, which was worked together by like Rahman and Woody, who's our tech lead and our producer. And making a really long, shitty version of the game is so good for pacing, especially in a narrative-based game. So we would like sit here and we'd be like, okay, what if we put Roxy Music here? What if we put Devo over here? How does that change the story? And then once that came into something that was like coalesced into something that was cool and stylish and paced out well, then we would go through and like, if we need to add a little bit, we would remember we added the BJ Thomas song because we wanted something that was like counterintuitive, like juxtaposed to a very sad moment to have this like 60s ballad playing, you know? So I think it was a great experience having that slice and being able to rearrange it and making a story.
Did you have like any songs that originally was part of the plan and then maybe for different reasons, you know, it didn't get, you know,
never asked for any Pink Floyd or Led Zeppelin songs.
Okay.
And I probably would have, but I thought, I remember the person we talked to who's the musical supervisor saying like, you know, I've asked Pink Floyd and they've turned down millions. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just happy with Devo. Thank you very much. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
That's all good. You don't have to say,
There was one band that was like, they wanted tons of money. And I was like, not for you.
So which one was the one that when you got that first green light, you got that track? Which one, like, okay, this game is going to come out really, really good with this.
Yeah, the two that I got that were early on that really blew my mind was That's Good by Devo, because I'm a huge Devo fan, and More Than This by Roxy Music. And just as a side note, I loved ringing my dad and telling him, like, we got Roxy Music. Roxy Music is going to be in the game. And he was just like, oh my God, did you meet Brian Ferry? I'm like, doesn't work that way, Dad. But it was pretty cool. Yeah, those two songs. And then we use them in the first trailer is Devo and but just an immense privilege to work, to have that music at your disposal. Like you're making something and behind it is, you know, Silverchair, is Joy Division. That's part of the art that you're putting out. Immense privilege. Slater. And Cassandra. Yeah. Rockford is the main character.
Okay, awesome. So is this based on a true story or this is something that...
Oh, I've done way worse than this. Yeah. I've done all of these things that are in the story. And drawn also from the team, we would write down like all of the mischief that we had got into and decide which ones would make the greatest levels and which ones would tie with what songs. I know some people, it's a turmoil to make video games. I am absolutely joyful when making video games. It was just great. It was an amazing experience to make.
Which song represents the closest of each character? The songs that are in the game.
That's great. I think Teenage Riot for Cassandra.
Okay.
By Sonic Youth. I think Slater would be one of the tracks off Dark Side of the Moon. It'd be Breathe. And for Rockford, I would have... Her main theme would be like something by Swans or some like noisecore band or something like that. That's what I have for her. I think maybe like Oingo Boingo, something like that. She would have to be left of center, like to be like that side project, Danny Elfman stuff, something like that.
Yeah. The feedback has been great. I remember seeing the trailer for the first time. Like, oh man, this is like my era. I can't wait to play this game. And I played already twice.
Yeah.
Every time I play it, also my wife is super excited for this.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of people that are also very excited about this. Like, how prepared are you, like, to get the feedback from everybody? They're going to play it for the first time once it releases.
That's interesting, isn't it?
It's been a long time you guys worked on this project.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years. So, yeah, it's a weird way to live, isn't it? You have this, like, time where you're not allowed to talk about it, and we're all, you know, video game developers and nerds. We hang around and talk about films that no one watches and games that no one plays, and you're so insular for so long, and then suddenly you're very public for a very short amount of time. It is a really interesting kind of way to live as an artist. Am I ready? No, I'll never be ready. I'll read all the comments, make myself sad. At this point, I really feel like so calm about the whole thing. We're so happy with it ourselves. The publisher's so happy with it. We're extremely critical. We're extremely critical artists. We're extremely critical of what we make. And when we're happy and relaxed when it's finished, then I know that we did all right.
I'll tell you this, man. Just live the moment. I think you guys are going to be fine. I mean, it's the same with music too, right? You create music, people are going to have the good and bad about those projects too, you know?
Absolutely.
So it's similar. So what was your favorite part of working on this project for you?
Getting better. Yeah, getting better as a team and learning more about game development, learning more about how to tell stories in an interactive medium. And as a team, like we have a new tech team. We have like Jordy and we have Roman who are working on our tech team, and that's built us up to be more powerful than we were. We always had a fantastic art team. I think we're stronger there now. And it is a joy to kind of like grow and get better and appreciate each other as a team. Great. Collaborative artistic experience.
You know what was, I'm going to tell you a quick story. The first time I got to play this game.
Yeah.
So I went to Summer Game Fest. You were there at Summer Game Fest?
Yeah.
So I was there and I was playing and Phil Spencer, Hideo Kojima pops up and like, yeah, we're planning to play the game now. And that's the reason why I stopped. I was so disappointed. Like, no, I want to play this game. I was super excited, but I'm
cool. Dude, can I tell you that from my perspective?
Yeah.
So I was like sitting there and like you're playing, all the press are there, and then someone comes in, the little Phil's coming in.
Yeah.
And so in comes Phil and Matt Booty and Sarah, and they all come in and they're playing. I'm sitting with Phil, and Phil is, you know, I don't know if this is like common knowledge. Phil is really good to the indie developers.
Oh, yeah.
He will message you and make sure everything's okay. Yeah. Message me on Twitter like all the time. He's like super great to indie devs. And, you know, so he's sitting there and he's like, you need anything? How's it going? You know, as he is, he's great. And then someone comes over to me like real press, like, Kojima's here. Oh, shit.
Phil's both like, at the same time.
Yeah, I know. And so, so Phil's like, what's up? I'm like, Kojima's here. Dude, come with me. So we both stand up. Phil's got his hand on my back, and then Kojima's standing up at the top of the stairs, like Peter Pan style.
Yeah, so and, I was there with that.
Yeah, were you really? Yeah. And they're like, go up and play. And so I sat there and Roman, our tech lead, had already been in there for like the first half of the demo. He runs out, he's giving me the controller. And so I'm playing for Kojima and telling him about the game and stuff. And then he gave me a big two thumbs up and left. And it was like, and then all the film crews go out and I'm like, wow, that was a really weird experience.
I mean, not that many people could say that, you know?
Yeah,
I had the opportunity. So
it was
really
very
cool.
Super cool.
I think that's a good sign for you guys.
Good sign. I think, yes, it is a good omen.
Yeah. Awesome. Now, for you, when was the first time you created your own mixtape?
I remember... Australian bands that you might not know. I would have taped Weir by Killing Heidi, Australian band, and the song formerly known as by Regurgitator. I remember two of the first songs that I ever would have taped off the radio.
Oh, nice. See, I would use the 60-minute cassettes. Then I'll get the 90, and then I remember the 120 version came out. I'm like, okay, this is the one for me. Longer version. Yeah. Guys, still to this day, I still have all my cassettes from
Yeah, really?
That. Yeah. I was going to bring it over here, but I'm like, I totally forgot about it. I wanted to show it to you later. Look,
that's very cool.
Yeah, man. Now, usually mixtapes is this, you know, volume one, volume two. Is it going to be like that? Something you don't have to say, but...
I think my answer is... It won't be the next game.
The what?
It won't be the next game.
Okay.
But I'm not saying we won't come back.
Okay.
It won't be the next one.
Cool. You know, we were, I was checking out the Q&A session.
Yeah.
And you were telling a story how you got connected with Annapurna.
Yeah,
can you briefly talk about it? Fascinating
that
story.
That I bullshitted my way into the industry.
I mean, that was the grind. I see that as a grind.
That's the best way to do it, man.
Yeah.
So the game had gone on the front page of Reddit. That was like this, how that story starts.
Oh, really?
And,
interesting.
It was just a demo. Do you know what? It wasn't even a demo. It was just it running in engine. It wasn't you couldn't play it.
Okay.
And Annapurna rang me up. They saw it and they said, hey, tell us about this game. Like, and I had a meeting with them. And then they called me back a few weeks later and they said, you're going to be at PAX in Melbourne? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Got a table, got a demo. Come down. I'm ready to go. Total bullshit.
You just want to get in.
Just lied my ass out. Yeah. And so we got, I think, the last table at PAX. We had 3 months to make the demo. We made it in 3 months. We'd been up for 2 days, I remember, on the floor. So we were just dying. And then Hector and Nathan rocked up and played the demo at 11 o'clock on the first morning. Took me out for lunch. Got the deal.
Did you have music in there too? It wasn't official, but...
You know, I had, this is for Artful Escape. So yeah, it was all like, it was a full like 20 minute demo. It's actually a really good demo.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's really good. And then, Artful Escape obviously grew a lot in the years following that. And then obviously came out and did well.
How long ago was that?
Oh, 17.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, do you see this becoming a, let's say, a TV series or a movie series, if you have an opportunity in the future?
Yeah.
Like I think it has a really cool story, you know?
Thank you. Yeah, I had some meeting. I've had some meetings about it, which are cool. Yeah. It's so fun. And people like do Hollywood pitch meetings. Yeah, I was like, we get Chris Nolan.
Yeah.
I think Chris Nolan's the man for this game.
Yeah.
I love that Hollywood shit. I'll be honest, it's so much fun. People pitching you movie stuff. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can't really talk about it. But it may happen.
That would be awesome. No, I just want to say, man, thank you for the opportunity. This has been great conversation about, and good luck.
Thank you.
With everything with the game. I can't wait to play the full version on this.
Thank you so much. I think you will dig it.
Yes. Let's go. All right. Thanks. Cool.
That was great.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's see that.